I almost fucking drowned this week on Live from the 405. Everybody, welcome to episode 2 live from the 405. As I do a podcast as I sit in traffic. What's today? The 9th? September 9th, 2015. That's today. I'm driving from, maybe that's what I'll do every week. I'll tell everybody where I'm driving. So if you're from LA, you can wrap your head around it. I'm going from Washington and Lincoln from work to the Arclight Hollywood movie theater in Hollywood. Obviously. To see Mean Streets, the Martin Scorsese classic. I haven't seen it in a long time. And I don't know if I must have seen it at the big screen at one point or another, but I can't fucking remember. But going to see that. Just bought a little bottle of Jack to bring into the theater with me and mix it into my soda. I'm kind of buzzed right now. I had for helping broker my raise at work. I bought my coworker, my only coworker, last Friday, especially after he had a long fucking day and was going to be stuck there late. I thought I owed him. I actually went to get him a bottle of fucking Mangria, but the asshole BevMo in Marina Del Rey is still out of it. They've been out of the fucking regular Mangria for months. I've been bothering Lynette and the company on Twitter and everything. They used to respond to me. Now, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck's going on, but I'm like, dude, this... Do you know how many bottles of Mangria I would have bought? I would have bought at least 4 from this place. I mean, I would have bought at least 4. You'd think if someone told you that a place was out of your product, you know, you'd go and stock it just so the guy would buy it, and you'd make some more money. But no, nothing. Nothing's. They haven't stocked it up. It's fucking killing me. So I bought him some whiskey, and he's a drinker. Old Quart's a drinker. I'm gonna put my sunglasses on, so I look cool. Because it's like, what is it, 5? It's almost 6. Man, this side of town, the fucking sun just blasts you from the driver's side window. The way I'm headed on the 405, it's like blinding. And I always got to put my stupid sun visor down in my window. No one needed to know that. I didn't need to tell that to anybody for any reason. But Old Court wanted to have a glass. And I didn't eat that much today. So I'm feeling this glass. I mean, it's straight whiskey on ice. It's pretty good stuff. It's like a $25 bottle. But like I said, he helped me get a raise. So I felt I owed him. So we had a little drink. I think I'm going to take, you know what? I'm not going to take, I think I'm going to take Venice to La Cienega to sunset. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to get on the freeway. Mean Streets, if you haven't seen it, check it out. The first time I ever saw it, it was like right when I was getting into like movies and shit. I was fucking like 19, and I don't know what sparked it. I can't really remember. I think maybe just happening to see Casino, and I was like so fucking blown away by it. I was everything from the dialogue to like the story to the acting to the. I remember even the cinematography. It was so. That was the first time I ever like discovered Robert Richardson, the DP, and I'm like, why does this look so crazy? Everything's so glowy. And shit, it's got this weird fucking like halos over people and shit. It was fucking nuts looking. I'm like, how do they do that? Like, why do they do that? I was like so perplexed. But I think I just went and I just discovered like Scorsese, and I was like, oh yeah, this is the guy that made Goodfellas. And I just started renting everything he ever made. And I think it was the summer. It was like 98, and Blockbuster had like a fucking dollar. Some like all their old titles were like a buck for like a couple months or something like that. So I just started going and renting every fucking thing. And I'd always heard how good Mean Streets was, and that was a classic, or, you know, just in my my nerdy poking around. And I didn't really get it the first time I saw it. It was very, I mean, it's old. It's from, like, 72, but I didn't get it, and I was just like, okay, I don't even know if I finished it. I was like, this is fucking dumb, you know? And I kind of put it away, and then I got so into it, I read a fucking biography about Scorsese, and... then it explained what all the themes and shit were in it. And then I totally fucked. There was like a whole nother movie going on that I missed. And I went back and watched it. And the second time I was like, after I kind of got an idea what it was about, I was like, oh my God, like, this is fucking amazing. And it's all about like religion and shit. And like, once I saw the bigger picture, that was one of the first movies to really, really set me off and be like, there's so much more going on with movies than I ever knew. And I was just like, I want to see every fucking thing and like figure out everything that's going on in it. Like, I was fucking fascinated by that shit. And then I went to film school and wasted $32,000. And now I'm in LA making, you know, almost no money, barely scraping by, living hand to mouth, miserable, sort of a miserable existence a little bit. But I'm just kidding, it's not that bad, but you guys know how it gets. But anyways, yeah, mean streets. I'm driving on the mean streets right now. Ah, fucking Venice. This goddamn street's always all fucking backed up. This never ending. There's areas in LA where it's just never ending construction. Like, they start fucking with the street. It didn't take this long to build the street in the first place. I went ahead for horse-drawn carriages and shit. And this construction just goes fucking on and on in the same spots. And just, it's just a fucking, it's ruining my life. Oh, especially over here. I mean, we don't have, this city doesn't have time for this shit. You bring everything down to one fucking lane. This is a major artery. You get a fucking 50,000 cars through here in 5 minutes. Fucking pricks. But, that's my story. Let me see. What should I start out? Okay, so last when I left you guys, last week, I was on my way to work for Corolla down in Irvine. Work, quote unquote. I could, okay, so the show was at, I had to be there by 6, show was at 8. I left work at 4. That's like the earliest I can get out, because I got to kind of do this under the radar, for one, and for two, just in case you don't know, I'm one of two employees at this place, so it's really hard for me to get time off or leave, because I'm an important part of the operation, guys. I don't want to toot my own horn. Come on, Andy, I don't want to toot my own horn! But, so it's hard to pull shit like this. Like, I had to pull today to go to do a secret job interview, which I'll tell you about in like a minute. That's a radio tease. Here goes, why don't you pedal your bike, asshole? Look, this guy's got to go by on these fucking bikes that have the motors built into that make the wheels go. Fucking lazy bastard. But, so I'm on my way down there, and, I did this fine, you know, broadcast, and I realized, like, I'm not gonna fucking make it. Like, it's, traffic is fuck. I've never drove down this, I mean, everywhere in shit, California, fuck LA, the greater LA region is bad at 5, but, like, this is bad. I'm like, I'm not gonna make it. So, it's getting to the point now where I'm gonna be, like, a fucking half hour late, and, They need me at the beginning and at the end. I mean, I you know, I'm there, I'm on guard for the whole show, but once they get set up, honestly, I'm not like running around like, I do the most amount of work I can to stick out to them, but there's not a ton to do, especially once you get set up. So I'm like, well, if I miss the fucking setup, then what's the point of, for like a second, I'm like, what's the point of even going? Maybe I should just email Dawson. Because it was looking like I was going to be like 45 minutes late. And I'm like, what's the fucking point? But then I'm like, you know what? No, just who knows what will happen. Just fucking go and show up. But like, now I'm trying to impress these guys. I've only worked for them like 3 times. And like, what am I, fourth? I'm going to be fucking late. A half hour, 45 minutes late. So I was fucking mortified. But like I said, there wasn't all that much I could do. I couldn't really leave any earlier than 4. So I had to try to make that work. So I'm fucking like, I'm trying to convince myself it's going to be all right. I'm like, somehow it's going to turn out. Just fucking go. Just do it. Don't email him. Just show up. But I'm just like so embarrassed. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm probably, he's probably going to shit can me, because he's like a super hard worker guy. And when he started out, he was early for everything. Like, he's one of those dudes. Like, he lives by his like code. And if you don't, like, you're not worthy in his eyes, and maybe never call me. I'm being a little extreme, but like, it's better to fucking play to the, you know, to play to the more extreme side than the less, because it's better to look at it as worst case, like, hey, be prepared, that might happen, but whatever. Fucking, I get there, frantically, like, fucking run in. It's at the Irvine Improv. It's a fucking, I hear about, this is all the comedians' podcasts and stuff I listen to, but I hear about everybody going to that fucking place. It's pretty popular, and they're like, well, it's in, like, a strip mall, so I'm thinking it's like, you know, like a Van Nuys strip mall, like a shitty, no, it's in, like, a fucking big outdoor mall. And the actual club is fucking huge. Like, it's really nice. Like, and then it's giant inside. And I guess giant inside. Walk in, go club. Why am I talking like Christopher Walken? I got in, and the sound guy was like, "Well, I'm jumping ahead a second, but he's like, yeah, it used to be smaller, but they knocked it out. It's like almost. It's got to be like an 800 seat or 1,000 seat. It's really big. But I go running in, and there's a fucking line already all the way around the building. And I just go, I don't see any way to get around back where they usually park and unload the shit. So I just go to the front door, and I just tell, I'm just in regular clothes, shorts and a t-shirt, and I tell the guy, yo, I'm with the crew. And the guy's like, oh, okay, come with me. I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, how many shows could I probably have gotten away with this in my life if I just walked up and said, yo, I'm with the crew, I'm just starting, they just told me to show up and just take me into the fucking back. I was like, oh my God. But he did, he didn't ask any questions, nothing, just took me in. So I run to the sound booth, and I'm like, where's the back door? Where are the guys? And he's like, what guys? And like, I'm 40 minutes late. And he's like, no one's here yet. No one got here. And I was like, I just put my head down on the counter, and just like put my fucking, my face in my arms. And I was like, thank fucking God. Like, I beat him by like 10 minutes, man. They were fucking super late. I couldn't believe it. It was like a fucking miracle. So I just see the back door come blasting open. And Dawson's like, fucking motherfucking traffic. He's like, fucking Irvine. He's like, dude, help us out, man. We got a whole van of shit to unload. We're in a fucking hurry. So I like ran. So then I was like the dude because I helped him. And I'm grabbing like 2-3 boxes at a time and hustling his shit around because I'm a big lug. But dude, it turned out okay. I was freaking out. You know, it went from like, this could be it ever to like, I just fucking saved the day. It was pretty bitching. But we got set up and yeah, nice club. And Paul Scheer was the guest. I don't know. He's in the league. I've never watched it. I've never watched it. I heard it's funny. I know it's a popular show, but it's not my cup of tea. I don't even watch regular TV that much. But he was the guest. And I got to hang out in the green room back there. And then I was like fucking, I had to set up the mics. And it was a big fucking crowd. There's already like 300-400 fucking people in there. Nah. Yeah, 253. And I just got to stand up there and just go, check, 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 hey, 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 1, 2, 1, 2. And I got to do this for like 4 or 5 different mics. I'm like, all right, do mic number 2. So I'll go and do that. So then I had to go and, now this is all, by the way, this is all stuff the intern is supposed to be doing. So like, I think I mentioned him last time, but he's a nice guy. I like him, but he's from like Minnesota or some shit. And I think he's like new to LA. And he told me that he joined college just to work on the Adam Carolla show. That was my J. Moore Keitel. He told me he fucking enrolled in one shitty semester of community college for just some bullshit class just so he could have college credit to get to work for Carolla. But like, which, all right, that's, you know, that's admirable. That's some shit I would almost do. In fact, I even thought about doing that for a minute, but he's not working that hard. Like, I feel bad saying that. I don't think he knows what he has to do. I'm a step ahead because I got like fucking set legs from working on sets and shit on TV shows and stuff. Like I know how to be a step ahead, and I know like, and plus like I'm psyched. I like helping and I like being in a fucking live show and doing stuff. It's fucking cool to me. So I'm like, yeah. What can I do? Like, you know, what can we, you know, how can I help and shit? And this dude like kind of gets set up, and then he just hangs out at the table the whole time with like Kaylin and the other dudes, and just kind of fucking chills. And it's like, dude, you gotta be a little more proactive. You gotta stay in these dudes' radars, like, just because you're, I don't know, but I think I'm just hungrier than this dude. And I know better from having showbiz instincts. But I'm up there testing the mics, and then I had to do I had to go through all Ball Bryan's buttons. He's like, all right, hit some of the buttons. And I fucking hit my own sound clip in Ball's machine, and I was just like a fucking, like, the fucking ceiling opened up and a light came down. I was like, oh my God, this is so fucking, I know this is ridiculous, but I this shit excites me because I'm a dork. And I never thought I'd get to do this, you know, because like I said, I listened to radio for years and years, talk radio, and I would love to have worked, I guess not in terrestrial radio, just because it's such a fucked up industry and it's impossible. It's even crazier than the shit I'm into. Like radio is just, you got to be fucking on your mind. But like, this is a different era of working for someone's private podcast and stuff. But I never thought I'd be able to like work on like a fucking talk radio crew. Like, this is cool. I love this shit, you know? It's all I listen to. So it's exciting. And got to do that. And everything gets set up. And like, I wouldn't even sit. I'm standing right next to the fucking, right next to the sound booth. Like, right next to fucking Dawson. I'm like, you need anything, motherfucker? You bark, I bite. I'll go get it, you know? And like, every now and again, he just kind of look over and give me like a fucking, like a fist. Like, yeah. Like, you're fucking a dude and shit. And at one point, he's like, everyone started getting food and stuff. I was fucking starving. I didn't have time to eat. I had to fucking shoot there. And he's like, if you want to get a beer or something, he goes, you just go ahead and get it. He didn't know this, but I had already gotten a Jack and Coke in the back because He's like, oh, hang out by the green room and hang out on the side of the stage. When I get all the pods up, I'm going to have you go up and check the mic. So just be standing by. So the waitress, who was really fucking nice, she was great. She's like, do you want any drink? I was like, yes, I'll have a Jack and Coke. So I got one. And, you know, I had that one, which was nice. And then later on, you know, about, you know, 45 minutes later, I'm hanging out with him. I'd already drank it. And he's like, get a beer. He's like, I'm serious. Get a beer right now. He's like, because I can't handle you, like, doing all this shit for free and not at least getting something to drink first. I was like, all right, I'll get a fucking Jack Coke. That's the fucking, he's a good dude. But, what else happened there? So, the show, I mean, just the whole time, I was just fucking Johnny on the spot with everything. I was just ready to go. And, in the end, I'm packing up some shit in the back of Dawson's truck, and I just happened to knock over when I was moving some shit around, and I knocked over two bottles of Mangria, but like the Brosé stuff, not the actual Mangria, because that I probably would have cried just from the way. I probably would have got down and licked it, because I love that shit. It breaks right as fucking Adam and Mike August are walking by. He's like, whoa, what are you doing there? He's gonna be throwing the bottles around. I was like, oh, yeah, sorry, man. And then Dawson was like, Every time you hear Dawson talk, just picture him taking a drag on a cigarette first and like blowing it out real quick out of the corner of his mouth and go like, what'd you do? You know, like just like kidding. He's like, what'd you do, brother? Drop some wine? I was like, yeah, I spilled some. He's like, yeah, it's coming out of your paycheck. He's like, coming out of your non-existent paycheck. I was like, I was so fucking embarrassed, but yeah, whatever. So their next show is September 20th, Sunday, two shows, San Diego. And I knew he was going to say something. He's like, what are you doing, you know, 20th, Sunday the 20th? You want to go to San Diego? I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. I'm going. Let's go. And he goes, all right, where do you live? And I'm like, I live like 10 minutes from the studio. I'm in the studio. I live right over in the Studio City. He's like, all right, tell you what. He's like, I guess it's turning into a relatively large Mike Dawson. He's like, tell you what, come over to the studio. You can ride down with us. And I was like, get the fuck. Oh, I mean, you know, in my head. In real life, I'm like, oh, cool, yeah, that'd be great. I'm like, holy fuck, holy shit, I'm gonna fucking drive. I'm driving down there with the fucking crew. Like, how cool is that? I want to waste my gas and shit. That's fucking killer. So, yeah, I'm going down there with those guys. Oh, they gave me my first, he goes, right when I got there to help him out, he's like, those boxes of shirt. He goes, what size shirt are you? I'm like, like a large. You know, I went on this whole fucking diatribe. I was like, oh, I'm a large. I'm an extra large if it's 100% cotton. If not, it's 50% cotton. He's just like, all right, grab a shirt, man. Go put a shirt on. So I got like an official crew shirt, so I'm part of the crew. That's fucking cool, man. But I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like if I keep plugging away with these dudes, I think something's gonna open up. The thing that I'm kind of worried about in the background. I mean, I want this to happen, but it's gonna be a fucking problem. Is I got a feeling like something's gonna open up and it's gonna, well, hey, dude, you got a job, $12 an hour if you want to do it. Like part, it's gonna be some kind of shit, man. It's gonna be like part time at first or something, and like $12. And I'm fucking terrified of that. I have a feeling that's gonna happen, but I don't know. I guess I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. But like, I'm working my balls off to possibly be fucking myself for a good while. But I'll figure something out because I want it bad enough, and I'm not gonna fucking give up. And I'm definitely getting there. Like I love those guys. Like I get along with them and shit. And like, I'm sorry. I don't want to spend. What the fuck am I on? I don't want to spend too much time on this. But like I'm sitting right next to fucking Gary Haftard, the producer. And, like, the fucking show was hilarious. I mean, the Howie Mandel one was really funny, but this one was, like I said, sometimes you listen to live shows, and they're like, if they're not, like, on one. But, man, him and Paul Scheer were great together. And Steve Renazzisi was there. And, fuck, was it funny. They just went on so many, like, crazy riffs about shit that I, like, never, you know, like, brand new stuff, because Adam tends to repeat himself. But he went on this fucking, they talked about, like, jerking off to, like, I mean, this is an overused bit, obviously, but it started out as them talking about jerking off through the squigglies on your cheater box or whatever in your TV in the 80s if you had cable. And then Adam started talking about this, like, there's some channel, or I don't know if it's Public Access or what, but they'd play these, like, these shitty exercise videos. And he's like, oh, yeah, it was an exercise thing, and the girls were just kind of on a rotisserie, and it would just turn, and the girls would do these workouts and spandex and shit. And he's talking about it. And then somehow Gary, in the middle of him talking, finds this YouTube clip. And then he sends it to the big screen behind Adam on stage. And he's describing this thing. I was laughing so hard, my fucking, like, my guts hurt. Like, this video, it was so terrible. And it was just like, it's like they put a fucking, these chicks literally on like one of those things on your table that you put the butter on so you could spin it. They're on this, like, spinning thing. And the camera's just at this weird low angle. just like sitting on a tripod, and it just goes in a circle around these girls, and they work out in these shitty 80s fucking clothes, and they do these like really crappy, like, they're like, he's like, what are they even doing? Are these even exercises? And the chick's just kind of like touching her toes, like they're not even breaking a sweat. It was so fucking, it was so funny. It was like so perfectly timed, and like, I was like, what a fucking crack team. Like, it was already a funny bit, but to have that video playing too, people were fucking dying. People were laughing so hard. I was like, that was fucking, I even said to Gary, I'm like, did you just pull that out of nowhere? He's like, yeah, I just found it while he was talking. I was like, God damn. Like if you guys would have rehearsed that before the show, you couldn't have made that as funny. It was fucking awesome. It was cool to see how the whole fucking team works. Show business, people. Oh, that's it. So I'm going to San Diego, those guys. That'll be fun. Yeah. So the big story, guys. Oh, if you follow me on Facebook, I almost drowned over Labor Day weekend. They had record riptides. I heard on the way in on Fitzsimmons' podcast today that he said in 3 days on Southern California beaches, 3,000 lifeguard rescues. Like, it was out of control. It was crazy. This huge, like, warm front came in and made this wicked fucking riptide. Like, me and Stryker go to the beach, as we do sometimes. Went to Zuma Beach in Malibu, which I like going because it has the fucking craziest waves. But Thursdays, I mean, it's not usually there's waves, but it's no big deal. You get hit by a wave and that's it. Like, another one comes in like a minute and a half or some kind of shit. But there's days when you know it's bad. You get down there and you can see the water where it, like, you know, touches the shoreline. You can see the water going in like two different directions. And then you're like, oh shit. Like, you know there's some shit going on. And like, I mean, we're not even laying on this, we're like still walking towards the beach, and you can just see these like 12-foot waves, like one after another, these fucking monster waves, man. Like 12 feet and shit, you know, big ones. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be fun. So we get in the water, and it was warmer than normal. And as soon as you stepped in it, it was pulling like 90 degrees to the right. Like, it was such a fucking strong current, you couldn't even like walk. And I noticed right away that nobody was, I mean, when it's fine, everyone will go out, you know, 30, 40 yards, something like that. But on this one, everyone was really tight to the shore, because like, you could just see the ocean was pissed. The sea was angry that day, my friends. And we're like, wow. So like, as soon as you go out, even over your knees, it already starts carrying you down shore. Like, you had to, every time a wave would break, you'd have to walk straight in the other direction, like turn like 90, like you have to turn profile the other way and walk in a straight line just to like stay near your fucking beach towel, because it was trying to like carry you away. I'm like, wow, this is, it was definitely the meanest it's been all summer. It's been relatively, you know, it's like the way it usually is, but this was fucking unbelievable. I'm like, whoa. And as I've said, a pastime at a Luxor's is to have a little fucking drink on the way down there. So now, I wasn't like, because that's the first thing everyone asked me, they're like, were you drunk? And I was like, well, I had some, hang on, let me take a sip of fucking water here. Hang on a second. I had a little bottle of Jack, but I'd eaten. I was buzzed. I wasn't wasted. I wasn't like beyond comprehension. But I mean, it's fun to get a little dangerous with the waves. So you're like going out a little bit, and like, I was getting my ass kicked, so I didn't feel like I had to go out super far. And you know, it's fun for a while. And I'm like, right, I want to go fucking back and fucking lay. Because I was a little bit hungover. I want to go take a fucking nap on the beach because it's fun. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go out and catch, like, one more big one. The big ones. And I get fucking, you know, I'm out there, you know, swimming around. And I get hit by this fucking big one. And I don't even remember it. I don't remember an exact moment of it happening. But at some point, I realized I got hit by two or three in a row. And then I kind of couldn't get back. I kind of couldn't fucking... I couldn't make my way back. It wasn't the normal, like, okay, I'm ready to go back to shore now. And I'm trying to kind of go, but I'm not really, I could feel myself not really moving. And then I got hit by another fucking big wave. And then I turned around. I was kind of floating on my back, and I was trying to, like, kind of just stay calm and, like, float on my back and, like, kick my way back to shore, you know. And I'm facing not towards the beach. And when I turn around, and, like, the people on the beach have gotten very small. And I'm like, whoa, baby. I'm way the fuck out. I'm like, I'm out pretty far. And I see another wave coming. So now I start fucking swimming hard. I'm like, shit, I'm getting pulled out. So I'm starting to fucking paddle my ass off. And then this other wave hits me, and now I'm even further. Now I'm not moving. Now I'm like literally swimming for fucking dear life. And you've never like you. I was so tired by the time. I mean, by the time I got back to the beach, I was like, I had muscles I didn't even knew I had were hurting. Like everything was tight because your whole body tightens up, and you're just fucking swimming your ass off. And I'm doing everything I can. And at one point, I turned around. And all I saw was a wave in front of me and a wave behind me. So now, like, I'm in the middle of just that was it. Now I'm, like, out in the ocean. I was probably out a good fucking 100 yards. Now I'm like, I'm fucked. Now I'm in serious trouble. So just then, they have every week, no matter what, they have a chopper that flies. They have a chopper, Marvel fans. It flies up and down the beach. Look for Namor, the Submariner, who is an Avenger. They never put in a movie for some reason, and he had little wings on his ankles that made him fly. Don't ask me how the fuck that worked, but somehow he could fly because he had two little shitty wings on his feet that looked like the Goodyear logo with the fucking boot with the wings coming off, Marvel fans. But I see a helicopter. This almost felt futile to me, but I'm like, I guess I'll wave to the helicopter for help. And then it's kind of stopped. It was hovering over me for a minute, like pretty close. I mean, I could see into the fucking cockpit, you know? And I wish I could see their cocks. But, so the chopper, flies away, takes off down the beach. And I'm like, I hope that motherfucker saw me. So and this whole time, I'm swimming my ass off, fucking swimming hard. And, I keep getting, swimming that hard, I'm splashing water in my face. And now I'm like, I keep getting water in my mouth. And now I'm like choking on the water, so I can't get full breath and fill my lungs. And I'm like, this is, I'm fucking going out. I'm in fucking, you know, I'm fucked here. And all of a sudden, I feel somebody hooks my fucking arm. And I looked in this fucking Dreamboat. This gorgeous man. He looked like Johnny from Karate Kid. That's what he looked like. He looked like that asshole in every 80s high school movie. That was the bully. And he, like, does this thing where he hooks my arm. And then he throws the that little red, you know, the floaty thing. And he goes, "What happened, bro? Did you get pulled out?" I'm like, "Yes, I did. Help me." I was like, "I sure did, sir." I was like, "Thank you." He's like, "All right." So he goes, "All right." He's like, "We're both gonna swim." He's like, "And just kick this way." And he was kind of pulling me, but then every time, like, I'm still trying to get like my, I was like choking on water. I'm still trying to kind of fill my lungs, and I'm gasping. He's like, "All right, here comes another wave. We're going under. You ready?" And I was like, "I don't want to." And then the fucking wave hit me, and I. But so I had to get hit by like two more. But he had to like coach me too. He's like, "All right, man, deep breath. Here comes a wave." Like he was like coaching me too. So he's pulling me in, and I finally get to where my feet can touch. That's when I got scared, because when it was pulling me out, I realized that I couldn't touch the ground. I couldn't touch the fucking ground anymore. So I was in at least 10 feet of water, and like there's no getting back. I mean, if you can't at least propel yourself off your feet, you know, what are you gonna do? So he gets me back, and there's like a fucking crowd watching on the beach. I'm like, "Oh, for fuck's sakes." But I wish it was like that Louis episode where the guy saved him and he goes, went and partied with him, but that didn't happen. But and I get back, and like, I felt like a rag doll. I was so fucking tired, and I was fucked up, man. I was like really kind of freaked out. I'm walking, my legs are all shaking and shit. It was scary, and I get back to the thing. Stryker didn't see any of this. Dude, we were at Guard Tower 7, like right fucking next to it, and the thing had carried me down to past, like, I was halfway between 10 and 11. That's how fucking far down the beach this thing took me. It was like a five-minute walk back to where our goddamn towel was. The only way I could really find it was because we happened to be next to this big, weird, like, kind of awning thing where they park, like, tractors. Gave another guy a tractor? I don't know, he parked tractors or something under it, so... I had to walk down, and Stryker's just laying down. I'm like, "Yeah, I almost died, dude. That was fucking close. I almost drowned." He was like, "Whoa, really?" And then like the whole rest of the time we were there, I mean, there was constantly lifeguards every freaking 10 minutes. So there were guys were running down the beach, whistles blowing, and like they had to pull one guy out with a fucking, I've never seen this, and I've been to this beach so many times. They pulled a guy out with a one of those jet skis, and they had to pull him. They were like drag them. And one of those, like, whoop, 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 the police, it's like a converted ambulance for the beach, you know, it's kind of like a half and half fire truck thing ambulance, and all these guys came running out and pulled that dude in. I was like, "Whoa," and then there was another, they had to go out one other, so I saw three fucking, including myself, like, Just in 2 hours, three people got pulled out of the water. It was fucking unbelievable. But it's like, you get pulled out and it's all, I almost wanted to laugh. Like, this can't be happening. There's no way this just happened right now. Like, how am I getting pulled out to sea? And like, I'm going to fucking drown at this dumb beach. Like, I'm not even out there. I mean, I was out far enough, but it happened so quick. And I just couldn't deal with it. I'm like, this cannot be happening right now. Just, you fucking got to be kidding me. But, yeah, that was scary, man. And I went home to take a nap. And every time I closed my eyes, I kept seeing it, like, over and over again. The last time that happened was when I got hit by a car when I was in ninth grade. For, like, 2 days straight, every time I closed my eyes, I kept seeing the fucking car hit me over and over. So, it was fucking relatively traumatic. Oh, a guy fucking died. A dude drowned the day before at Venice Beach, which is only a few miles down the beach. Fucking drowned, man. Got pulled out and couldn't get out. So, that's pretty scary shit. That's the third closest I've ever come to drowning. When I was a little kid, I almost drowned in Darien Lake. Real little. I was like four. I still remember like bobbing up and down in the water trying to breathe. And the last minute, my mom, I can still picture this perfectly. I still remember my mom like talking to somebody and just turning her head and seeing me. And all of a sudden just getting up and fucking running in. I think my mom saved me. I'm even a lifeguard. I tried to pretend like I couldn't breathe so that my mom could give me mouth to mouth and slip her the fucking tongue. Give me some of this, mama. But the other one was in Bokes' pool when in high school we were fucking around with the pool cover on, the solar cover. And we were playing like Marco Polo or something with the fucking solar cover on, which is obviously insane. They all went in to go get something to eat. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be in a minute. I probably was waiting around in the pool to go stick my dick in the filter, but I was like swimming around, and I came up for air a little too fast, and the whole solar cover just like sucked to my face, and I couldn't get it off. And the more I was trying to fucking struggle, the more I moved around, the more like it wrapped around me, you know, and I didn't even have a full. I came up for air because I was swimming. I was underwater so long. I jumped up to get air, and this thing stuck to me, so I wasn't able to get a full. You know, I already stuck to my face when I didn't even have lungs full of air. So I was in fucking bad shape. And I was fighting to get it off. And I just got close enough to the edge where I was able to throw myself right out of the goddamn pool with this fucking thing on me. You know, like a giant fucking squid or something. But that was pretty goddamn close. I mean, luckily he had a really small pool. If he had a big pool, that would have been it for the Lukester. You wouldn't be hearing this fucking wonderful podcast. And then this—that was my—that's my top three. But you know what I realized in a final destination sort of way, or like in reverse, I saved three people from drowning. I don't even remember this, but my buddy Nash, I saved him from drowning in a creek. I saved my brother at the rock quarry that my dad used to take us swimming in, that had like we went into a different part of it. I think I was like 7 or 8. My brother was probably like 4 or 5, and we didn't know, but there was like, you walked in and then there was like just fucking sheer drop off that went straight down like 25 feet or something. The thing was super fucking deep. It was like a natural spring or something. And my brother took one step and was like, he was just gone. He just went right under the fucking water. And my dad wasn't even looking. And I saw him go and I reached down and grabbed, my dad loved this. I grabbed him by the fucking hair as he was going under and pulled him back up. But I mean, to this day, my dad still talks about that. Like, he's like, that would have been it. He's like, he would have been fucking gone. You can't see down there. As soon as he goes under, it's dark as shit, and he couldn't swim, so I saved him. And then I saved on a crazy-ass Steve Hendel down the street they used to have. Him and his neighbor would have these joint. Now, obviously, this is working-class Buffalo, so everyone's fucking, you know, wasted. Everyone's drunk by 1 and shit. And I was probably 10 or 11 or something like that. Yeah, why'd I make that noise? They're all drinking and partying, and you know, they kind of like just like combine their yards almost, and everyone would walk in between the two houses. And like, I think I left like my sunglasses or something on the deck, and I go up to get them, and they're fucking, the neighbor's kid is just like floating in the fucking pool, like face up, like trying to swim and shit. And I was like, whoa, what the fuck? And I grabbed and pulled her out. Like, I don't know how long this fucking kid was in there. I mean, she was like 4 or something. She was like a fucking baby. And no one's watching her and shit. They're all doing fucking Jaeger shots and shit. And I fucking pulled her out. I remember she was all fucking crying, like screaming. And I think they thought like I was fucking with her. Like, what would you do? And I was like, no. I was like, your fucking child was drowning, you cocksucker. The guy punched me in the face, and he grabbed me and fucking stuck the spike they throw the horseshoes on and shoved it up my ass. and fucking threw me on the roof of his house. It was fucking crazy. But then afterward, he was like, oh, sorry. I didn't know you saved my daughter's life. But, you know. Yeah, I saved three people and I almost drowned three times. So I'll call it even, Jesus. Oh, you fucking Jew bastard. Hey. I'm doing pretty good. I'm at fucking Pico in La Cienega. I'm making fucking record time here. I don't have to be there for another hour. I don't have a lot. 2 pages of fucking dialogue here. Girl-wise, I pulled a Michael Corleone at the end of Godfather and like settled all family business. I've cleaned my slate of chicks. And the slob, it's been 6 fucking weeks. I haven't seen her since that Say Anything show. And she's leading a one-woman passive-aggressive anti-Luke Instagram campaign, which are obviously pointed at me but won't mention my name. But she's so childish. Like, she's, I don't know what this chick's got fucking problems. Like, I mean, she's not a bad chick. She's just, I don't know what's going on with her. But just the shit she's doing is so fucking teenage. And it's embarrassing. I'm like, what the fuck? Have some fucking self-respect. And then she'll be like, she'll write a poem or something. She'll be like, I don't care about you because you and me are through and you left me and you'll see that you're acting like a Jew or something. But it'll just be, all she does is take fucking selfies of her. Like not, like one after another. That's like any fucking dumb broad on Instagram. Just over and over again. So it'll just be a selfie with some kind of fucking dumb affirmation and obvious shot at me. And then she has all these dumb hashtags. It'll be like, hashtag eyes, hashtag hair, hashtag don't need you, hashtag living life without... But there's like fucking 27 of them. But it'll be like eyes, hair. Who is going to fucking check? Who just rolls through Instagram and goes, I wonder who's hashtag eyes today? And fucking go... How much fucking attention do you need, you asshole? Fucking get it together. It's fucking, God, it's embarrassing. I can't, I'll check it just to get douched out. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. That guy sounds hot. But, so she, you know, I know nothing from her. The last text basically was like, politely buzz off. Again, now, I'm not trying to sound like a cool dude. I don't think I'm cool. I'm fucked up, too. I'm fucked up in the head. And I just don't have time for... Like, one quarter of me would like to be in a relationship, you know, that's, like, exciting. Or, like, you know, a chick that I really like and everything's cool. But the other three quarters is, like, I work fucking 60 hours a week or more. I do all this stuff. It's not on my priority list. I don't have time for, like, a fucking relationship. And I'm just so used to being so independent. I don't want to make fucking time or plans for anyone. I'm really impulsive. I get very little fucking time to myself, so, like... If I just want to go see a movie Sunday, I don't want a brunch and everything planned out for me by the handful, which she does every week. A Sunday, I have to go hike, and then we'll have brunch, and we'll get in, and we'll go to the food market. I'm like, no. Sunday's my fucking day off, asshole. And most Saturday nights, I work till fucking 2, 3 in the morning. I want to fucking sit around and do... Sometimes I want to sit around and just decompress and stare at my fucking fan and not do shit, you know? Fuck around on a computer. Whatever. Like, I don't want to deal with anybody. I want to do whatever the fuck I want to do, you know? I don't want to have to go basically another day where I know everything's going to happen from morning to night, you know? Which I know. That sounds unreasonable. She's just trying to be nice. I totally understand, but I can't do it right now. I just can't do it. And it's getting to the point, I've been like this for so long, I don't know if I could ever do it. I'm going to have to really meet, like, an amazing chick that's just like, holy shit, like, this is like... You know, the next, like, fucking broad I fall in love with or something like that. Which is fucking... I mean, it's been 5 years? Would I come close two times, maybe three? Out of dozens of fucking women I've met and gone on dates with and all this horse shit. But, so I was supposed to go to the handful's birthday on Saturday. And I had to fucking drop the hammer on her that I can't go. I knew she was going to be pissed. But, she went fucking atomic, man. She was just like... Not fuck you. Not literally saying fuck you, but like I can't believe you're doing this to me. Like, this is bullshit. And she's trying to tell me I ruined her birthday. We just started seeing each other maybe 3 weeks ago at the most. And she planned this thing months ago. I'm like, how did I ruin your fucking birthday? This thing was planned way before me. Well, just because I'm not going to be there. And she couldn't wrap her head around the fact that I had to work. I really had to work. I need the money. That's fucking move cost me a bunch of dough. And I need to get my fucking savings back up. I spent way more money than I should have. And I hadn't worked in 2 weeks already. So that got even more magic. Well, you didn't work the last 2 weeks. I'm like, yeah, exactly. That's why I got to work this one even more. I can't go to your fucking birthday yet. Sorry. So that was the whole thing. And like, but I kind of like, I shouldn't have to explain myself. She's sending me text after text going like, this is so, I can't believe how disrespect, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and explain to you that I have to work and why I have to work. Like, I said I can't come for something legit that I'm doing. If you can't, if you got a problem with it, that's your fucking tough shit. And if you never talk to me again, well, I guess that's how it's going to go. Toots. Well, that's how it went. So, Saturday night, I forgot about this. On holiday weekends, Uber is fucking dead here in 3-day weekends. So I turn on the fucking meter. I did West Side. I did Mike, and didn't do well. It was all new stuff. I knew because I'm just getting tired. I've been kind of doing the same jokes for a while. I had a good run where I was writing stuff like crazy, and I was working through it and shipping. Most of it I've done a good bunch of times, especially at West Side, because that's really like a clicky club. It's the same people every week. So I don't like doing the same shit over and over again because I know the same guys are seeing it, you know? So I'm like, I'm doing this new stuff, fucking come hell or high water. I know half of it's shit, but sometimes you write stuff that seems like it's going to be shit or you think your set's going to be garbage, and it turns out good. You don't think you're going to get any laughs, and all of a sudden, they're laughing at weird stuff like the setup. You're not even to the punchline yet, and you just say some kind of weird inflection in the beginning, and people are already laughing. It's such a weird thing to me, so I always like to see how it's going to turn out. But I didn't. I two or three of them, I got some laughs and they were keepers. But like I'd written a whole like fucking 4 minutes of shit, and like 90% of it was fucking crap. So I'm like, son of a bitch. That didn't go well. But the two guys that host the mic are Graham and Scott every weekend, and like they seem like fucking cool guys. So Scott was gonna have like a fucking party that night, and I'm like, fuck, I don't want an Uber drive. I'd rather go to his party. I think they've had one or two parties before, and like I want to go and hang out with comics, and like I need to make new friends and like young friends that are out doing shit, because a lot of all my fucking friends are married, and like people just don't hang out all that much on the weekends of the people I know. And I only know a handful of people, whatever, but like I want to have more people to fucking chill with, and they seem like cool guys. So I drive all the way back to the fucking valley after this garbage fucking set that I did, and I turn on the meter, and it's just fucking dead. There's no surge rates, no nothing. I mean, I'm driving around for like 10 minutes. Usually the second I turn that thing on just to check to see what the rates look like on a typical Saturday at like 7 or 8, and like I can't even turn it on for 30 seconds and someone's already calling for a ride. I'm driving around for like 10, 15 minutes. No surge, no one calling me. I'm getting, you know it's bad when like someone will call you for a ride and it'll be like 6 fucking miles away. I'm like, it'll be like in Burbank. I'm like, what? What the hell? And, like, 3 rides in a row canceled. I drove, I mean, they're all, like, kind of close to my apartment, but, like, I'd get there and it'd cancel. So it was just, everything came together once, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm not going to drive tonight. Screw this shit. I want to go hang out at fucking dude's house, which, like, on another hand, too, like, you know, if you want to get shows and stuff, you got to, like, network with people and you know, make friends, because these guys put on shows, and if you're buddies with them, they'll throw you on. So, like, it's... I'm not like a quote unquote a career move, but like it would have been beneficial to go to the party. It's not like I was just going to go and like just fuck off. And like, you know, it was kind of, you know, it could have led to something. So there, I had a little bit of a legit reason to go besides just going. So, I don't go to her party. Now she'd stopped talking to me after Friday night. I'm like, well, I sent her a couple more texts and she stopped. I'm like, maybe we can hang out Sunday. And she was kind of vague about hanging out Sunday. So I just stopped writing to her. I'm like, whatever, fuck it. She's pissed off. And I figured she wrote me off anyway. So I went to this fucking party instead of going to her party. And I had to drive all the way goddamn back to Santa Monica. But, oh, man, it was fucking so... It was so fun. You know, okay, at the same time, Stryker's hit me up. He's got this crazy party in Sherman Oaks up in the hills. Like, it's a really nice house. Like, these are the kind of cool... Like, I love... This is, like, L.A. shit that, like, I hardly ever get to do. So, like, I love stuff like that, you know? I know it's silly, but whatever the fuck. I don't care. I can hear, you can hear this guy's music? That's how loud this Armo, of course he's a fucking Armenian, and a Maserati next to me. So now I'm like, nothing's right, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith, this is how I feel. I don't know if I should go to Stryker's Sherman Oaks Hills party or go to Graham and Scott's party, which is probably going to be kind of lame. I mean, there's going to be, it's just in their apartment. It's not some crazy fucking... you know, out of control fucking gangster party. I get there and it looked like Cyndi Lauper's bedroom at the end of the Girls Just Want to Have Fun video. But I'm like, you know what? Fucking no. I'm going to their party. I'm doing it because I was already on the freeway because I was stonewalling for Stryker because I wasn't getting the address and I didn't want to. To go to Scott and Graham's. And they kind of said I can go, but I said it sort of jokingly, and Graham's like, yeah, you can come by, because I don't know these dudes super good. I see him like every week at the thing, but we've never hung out. And I'm just terrified of being that. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to show up and like the fucking proverbial record scratches and everyone's like, who the fuck brought this guy? You know, I so didn't want that to happen, because I didn't want to walk in and just be like Graham and Scott and two of his buddies sitting around talking about fucking hockey or something. So I was just like terrified. So I'm killing time to see if maybe, whatever, what the fuck am I? I go to theirs, not Strikers. But I was so glad I went to theirs because, like, it was just all of us just sitting around just, like, bullshitting and just, like, telling jokes. And, like, it was, this is, like, the shit, like, I hear comics talk about hanging out with other comics at clubs and how much fun I had. Like, I never really got to do that yet, but I did kind of this time. And, just like I say, like, I hate, this is my kind of party, like, you just sit around and bullshit and make each other laugh. There's no fucking games. There's no playing cards and fucking everybody off in some different part of the fucking house engaged in some goddamn game that takes concentration and time so you can't talk. Because I got to play fucking Flippy Cup and apples to apples and all this fucking shit. I can't fucking stand it. Let's sit around and talk and tell stories like people have done for fucking centuries. Fuck! So I finally got to do that this time. And like, I'm starting to drink because I brought, which thank fucking God I did because there wasn't that much booze there. And I just, you know, just a social lubricant. I brought a bottle of fucking Jim Beam. And Heather Mullooly was there. Well, she didn't have to give me that. She's like, yeah, go, here's the address. So me and her are there. And I'm sitting with Scott. And I know this is a limited audience, but anyone that knows Westside, it's that tall dude with the beard that works the door. He's like a tall, gangly guy. And he's always got like a zippy sweater on. But I've talked to Scott and Graham, but I've never really talked to this dude. So me, him, and Scott are just sitting at the corner of this table, and somehow or another, I start fucking, because I don't know, whatever, especially if there's somebody new and I'm trying to make friends, I get extra like in the zone and wound up because I want to make them laugh so they like me. And I start telling them this fucking story about the black chick. And like, it was like a fucking 10-minute tale of everything that happened leading up to fucking her. And him and his dude, they were laughing so fucking hard. Like, Scott was like, he was crying and like wiping tears out of his eyes. And at like one point, like he got up and almost had to fucking spit his beer in the sink. He's like, what the fuck? He's like, dude, you're so fucking funny. He's like, why don't you tell these stories on stage? And I'm like, which is all I've heard since I started. I know that sounds incredibly easy, but it's not. Number one, I'm like, well, you only have 3 or 4 minutes to do it, you know. I can't really, how am I going to get into that? And like, it's different because it's just three bros sitting around. If I try to tell this, there's a bunch of girls in the audience. If there's black girls in the audience, it might get offended. You know, it just gets more, the more people that are involved, the more complicated things get. But it was so cool because I made him laugh so hard. I was fucking so happy. I was like, yeah. He's like, dude, you're fucking funny, man. I was like, thanks. But I don't know how to make that fucking translate. I've had a rough, I don't know. It's been a rough, I was doing well for a good 2 months. Everything I was writing was like, I would write like, you know, 4 minutes or whatever. And like most of it hit and most of it were like keepers in general. Like none of it was like, you know, I was doing all right. I wasn't bombing at all. Even the ones that weren't great were still getting some good laughs. And the last fucking 3-4 in a row, I've just been fucking eating it, man. I don't know what's going on. I realized last night I did this place called The Other Door in Burbank. And it's like a bar, but they have like a legit kind of little stand-up area in the back where they have a mic. And it's a lot more comic-friendly than any just old shitty bar. But I feel really disconnected to the fucking audience all of a sudden. Like, I just feel like I'm standing up there talking into a microphone and not like, I'm not connected to them. You know, you can feel it like when you, not that I do often, but like when you got the room and you got everybody tied in, it's fucking great. It's really cool because you're, you know, it's, you got everyone's interest. It's like, it's working. That's when it's working. And I just haven't been able to fucking do it. And people were just kind of staring at me. I didn't get many laughs. I had to do 5 straight minutes at that place. But I don't know what's going on, but it's been a rough couple. But yeah, they're good dudes, man. I had fucking fun. At one point, like I was helping that dude Graham clean up. And like, we're just taking empty bags full of empties. Cause they trashed his apartment, but like he cleaned it pretty good. Like he cleaned it as he went and shit. And I'm helping him take the thing of empties in the back. He's like, thanks, man. He's like, thanks for helping. I was like, yeah, no problem. But that's what I did Saturday night. But it was a good time. I need fucking more shit like that. But I don't know if I really needed to tell that story at all. I did a mic at like I said, I'm trying to do some tougher spots. I'm trying to do bars, and I'm trying to do tougher rooms that are outside of my comfort zone a little bit, so I can get a little bit more fucking seasoned. Cause you know, I'm just getting too comfortable at these at clubs. It's kind of cheating almost. And so I did. I've been wanting to do this for weeks, and I just keep not doing it because I'm a fucking lazy cunt. But on Monday night they have Hooters on Hollywood Boulevard at 9, Mike, and then at Big Wang's, maybe a mile away, at like 11. So if you get on in time, you can hit both. And I called the chicken wing tour for Monday night. So I'm like, I'm gonna fucking do it this week. I'm doing it, you know. So me and myself and Travis from Alaska, who I mentioned in a time or two, he wanted to try stand up too. So he went, and this is gonna be his first time. And he was fucking nervous, man. But we go there, and it's upstairs, and it's hot as shit, man. I mean, just doors. I don't know how the downstairs was even worse. Somehow the upstairs was cooler, maybe because the air conditioning vents were up there. I don't know, but I mean, I don't know how anyone would eat. It's right across from Grauman's Theater. I'm like right in fucking this middle of Hollywood, and I don't know how the fuck anybody would eat in this place. It was sweltering down there because I went down to get a fucking get a burr for Travis because he bought me the last bunches of rounds of drinks. And I don't know. I'm like, who would sit through this shit? But I don't know. It took when we got up there, there was a good there's a decent crowd. It was a good fucking 30 people or so. And by the time me and him got up, we were like the last five. I ended up being like the last five people drawn. There was like five fucking people left. It sucked. But he did the. I mean, this everyone goes through this, but. He got up and did it. His set was pretty good. It was pretty fucking funny, man, for a first timer and a first set. But like he's been a comedy writer for a while. He wrote for like cracked.com and obviously he came up with, I mean, not obviously, but if you listen to Corolla, that's how I met him. He would call in from Alaska from his job and he had this game called Greater Than Less Than, which is really funny, and he was always funny on the air. So like I knew the guy was funny. I just you always gotta see how it shakes out to be stand-up funny. But it was pretty good. It was a pretty good set, and I had a couple of fucking genuine laughs. He got off the stage. And, like, he thought he did so bad. Because, like, that's how it feels when you're up there. All you know is that in your head, you're completely fucking panicking and having a meltdown and you're terrified. And, like, you just think you're awful. But, like, no one else, you know, especially if you can really internalize it pretty good. No one could tell that. You look fine. You know, I'm like, dude, oh my God, how bad. I was like, it was fucking good. He wouldn't believe me. And he thought he did so bad. He's like, I'm never doing that again. Fuck that. No way. And then by the time we got to our car, because we parked a couple blocks away, he's like, all right, I'll do it again. I'm like, you really should, man, because, like, you were pretty good, you know? But I get up, and as soon as I get on stage, I think this was, like, it was 4 or 5 minutes. This fucking nut, this chick comes in who looks like she has a scooter, and she's got little, like, almost these little ass shorts on, the coochie cutter shorts, and like she's crazy looking. She's not gross, but she's not hot. She kind of looked like fucking she looked like Rudy from the Cosby Show. That's kind of like the look. She had to look like Rudy from the Cosby Show, the show I used to have with the daughter and the girl and the kid, and she came to look okay. But so she sits right in fucking front, runs up to the stage, and she goes, guess what? I was like, what? She's like, I just got out of the hospital. And I was like, oh, boy. And she's got like three fucking hospital wristbands on her wrist. I'm like, oh, we got a fucking live one here. And like, she basically talked, come on, Annie. She basically talked through my whole set. She just engaged me the entire time. She's like, yeah, I went to the hospital. But like, I'm like, okay, here it is. Here's your fucking crowd work, motherfucker. Like, throw your set out the window and engage this bitch. And, like, I did, and I actually did all right. I was doing all right. I was coming up with some funny stuff on the spot, and she's like, I brought my scooter. I go, did you ride that? Did you have enough energy to ride that thing up the stairs, you fucking tweaker? that got a laugh. And there's a couple, but it's hard to do that on the spot because she's just throwing the weirdest shit out, and I got to try and make it into something funny. And the one part, she's like, oh, yeah, I saw Steven Spielberg at the hospital. Steven Spielberg was there. And I was like, oh yeah, what was he there for? What happened? And she's like, oh, what did she say? His throat was fucked up because he ate a girl that had like he ate out a chick that had like a bad, you know, like an infected pussy or something like that. She's like, yeah, and his throat was all fucked up. I'm like, oh yeah, I was proud of myself. I came up with this on the spot. I go, oh yeah, that happened to me once. You know, I knew how. When I woke up the next day, my dick looked like a log of cookie dough that I dunked into a thing of Captain Crunch berries, and the whole place goes, ew. But yeah, so like I had enough time to literally get out one joke. She left. She goes, all right, I gotta go, bye. And she ran out, and I got the light right there. I'm like, cool, I have 1 minute left. That's fucking nut. But you know, that, like I said, like I, that's the kind of shit, you know, because it's a live fucking show and you gotta learn how to fucking think on your feet and deal with that kind of shit. So it turned out I did okay. But these two guys show up at the end. Now, there's like two comics left, two micers in the bucket. They've been waiting there for fucking hours. These two jerk-offs show up. A fucking jerk-off from the store. I noticed this dude on Sunday night because Travis and I went to... He wanted to try and get on the potluck, or no, the open mic at the comedy store. Which, at this point, I can't stand that place for actually doing a mic. I've really had it. I don't... The roast battle... The whole thing, I don't, it's such a cliquey, douchey high school scene there. None of it's genuine to me. It's the worst, every bad LA stereotype people not from here have about LA comedy happens in there for the most part. It's just, I fucking can't stand it. It's so disingenuous to me. I'm just not comfortable there. And I mean, I know that roast battle like revitalized the store in a lot of ways and did a lot of good. Great, but now every fucking place has a roast battle. Fuck roast battles. That's not what comedy... That's a gimmick. That's not... Comedy's supposed to be about fucking going up there and, like, you know, fucking talking about the world from your point of view and shit, or trying to have some kind of... This is just you're writing to... Oh, fucking Jimmy's feet are so big that when he walks... Fuck this shit, you know? I don't care. I could not fucking be bothered with it at all. It's so popular. It's all anyone talks about. It's like the biggest fucking thing around. These assholes come to the open mics to practice their roast set for the store. Like, oh, my name's Jim, and I'm going to be roasting Steve Johnson. You guys know him? I'll be roasting him Tuesday, so here's my roast set. And then the guy will stand up there and go through his set while the other person's not there. So we don't even know what the fuck he's talking about. Like, so Jim goes to the grocery store and buys so many heads of cabbage that blah, blah, blah. And then you just got to sit through this. And then the worst part is they put these guys up. I don't know why or how. I don't know if they all know every fucking person that runs every fucking mic, but they'll show up and then they'll get like the top slot. They'll just get pumped, move right to the front. Like, fuck all of us that came here 25 minutes early and signed up and have been waiting. We'll just put this asshole up so he can do his roast set and leave, which they do. I hate it, but it's fucking driving me nuts. It's like a fucking monster. But I saw this fucking dude sitting on the patio, and I thought he was Chris D'Elia. Now, I don't know if you guys have heard me bitch about him, but I'm not a fan of this guy. I can't stand him. He's a cheesy fucking, like, MTV slick fucking comic. He's not fucking funny. He's a very jokey, it's like I like to call hot chick comedy, right? The guy's real fucking good looking. I hate it, but there's a dude sitting on a patio that looked just like, I thought it was him, but it wasn't. So this guy is like a fucking D'Elia doppelganger. So he gets on the stage, and like this real fucking hipster, he's got like tight jeans and a tight white t-shirt and a backwards hat. Now let me tell you, motherfucker, something. I realized there's a thing, there's a concept, it's backwards hat comedy. I don't know one fucking comic that I've ever seen that I could fucking stand that had a baseball hat. If you have a baseball hat on backwards, you might as well get on stage with like a guitar or a thing full of props, because I'm already like, ugh. The only... Goddamn, nice legs, woman. Holy fuck, look at them. Jesus Christ. Wow, the girl. This girl's ugly, but her fucking body is sick. She's got this little-ass tube top, one-piece miniskirt thing, and, like, her pussy's almost hanging out. I'm at La Brea and fucking Santa Monica Boulevard by the Target. But, the only guy I can think of is, like, Joe Rogan. And even him, I'm not crazy about Rogan. I don't mind him. I don't think he's the fucking funniest stand-up, but he... Every time I see one of these motherfuckers, they get up and they're just these slick, I can't describe it, but it's very, not pre-programmed, but it's just not like, it's not real comedy to me. They're slick jokes to make everybody laugh, but there's no soul-bearing kind, you know, there's no real insight to them. They're just they know how to write slick jokes. That's the best way I can say it. They're like the Michael Bay of movies. These guys are the comedy. I guess that's the best way I can do it. Just fucking slick and soulless. And you're like, fuck you. But they're good at it, and they get laughs. I'll give it to them. It's not my style of comedy. Two of these motherfuckers get up, both backwards hats, almost the same comic. Just these, oh, God, they would drive me crazy. And I'm like, that's it, backwards hat, fucking comedy. I can't stand it. That's an asshole. This dude even dressed and made himself look like D'Elia. I'm like, I fucking hate you. I wish there was a fucking trap door on that stage that I could hit. You fall into the Rancor pit like Luke Skywalker, you motherfucker! But that fucking annoyed me. But I guess that's my fucking, my long-winded stand-up roundup of the week. What else happened? I got a whole fucking list of shit. I'm at almost an hour already, for fuck's sakes. I still got like 20 minutes till I park, so you assholes are coming with me. You assholes are coming with me. You know what? I'll say one more thing at Graham's party. I hit my feet on the floor and is, you know, sitting on his couch, and I kept kind of kicking something. He's like, because he was, I wasn't totally shithouse. I was doing all right. I drank plenty, and he had some. He's like, oh, dude, watch out. Don't kick my book. And it was Where the Wild Things Are, the book. You know, that book from the 80s? And you remember that song? It was big in the 80s. I love to Jeopardy. And so I'm kind of drunk, and I pick it up, and I start reading it. And, like, I'd never read that fucking book, but I was fascinated by it. It was so, it's pretty straight. I don't even know if it's straightforward. I think it's more open to interpretation, but I read it, and like, it's only fucking 18 pages or something like that, but I was like, wow, that was a really, the artwork is cool, but like, the story is like, don't, like, watch out what you wish for or something, like, once you get it, it might really suck, and you're like, don't forget where you came. It literally was like, it was Boogie Nights, the movie, distilled into like a fucking 14-page book or something. It was pretty interesting, but I want to see the movie now, because I'm like, I can't believe I'm 36 and never read this motherfucker. It came out like in the prime of my child book reading years, and I read all the other popular ones that were, you know, the big hits when you were a kid. But Where the Wild Things Are, motherfucker. Read it if you get a chance. If you have one commercial fucking break for an episode of Roseanne, you could read this book, and we could talk about it. What else? I almost drowned. Oh, yeah, okay, so I've been reading about, like I said, when I can't go to sleep, I go on these Wikipedia fucking rabbit holes that sometimes I'll look and an hour and a half will went by, and I'm like, oh my God. But I was reading about the Lufthansa heist from Goodfellas, which really happened. Obviously, it was the biggest, where am I going? Fuck, I went the wrong way. It was the biggest bank heist in U.S. history. Everything I read says at the time. So apparently something's beat it since, but I don't know. I don't know how you beat 6 million in fucking cash and jewels. But you know, in the movie how they whacked all those guys. How many people fucking died for that thing? And how many man hours went into the fucking police investigating it and tax money and court case? Actually, no one was ever brought to court on it. No one was ever fucking charged. They never had enough evidence. They all kind of knew who did it. Okay, so... Stax in the movie, Sam Jackson, he's supposed to, this thing went down, it was fucking so well planned, it went down, you know, to the fucking nines, like everything was carried out perfectly. They give Stax the truck to drive home. Instead, I know I'm not exactly telling you anything new, but fucking Stax gets drunk, goes to his girlfriend's house, and parks the fucking truck in front of a fire hydrant, the van. So the next day, the police tow it, find out it has stolen license plates. They run the fingerprints and find out that it's Stax who has a record, and they knew Stax hung out at Jimmy's fucking bar. This was like within 2 fucking days of this robbery. They already knew who did it. If it wasn't for this guy fucked up so bad, like if that hadn't happened, they might have never really known who did it. They kind of narrowed it down because of the precision of it and the amount of fucking manpower they had. They were pretty sure it was either John Gotti or Jimmy Burke, because they were the two crews in that area, and they were the ones with the most access to the airport. But they wouldn't have had any solid evidence because everyone wore masks. There was no eyewitness testimony or anything. And this fucking dummy, what a fuck up. I mean, you fucking parked the thing in front of a fire hydrant, a stolen truck that you just pulled off the biggest robbery of all time. Holy shit. So they had to kill him. But I guess him and Tommy, you know, Joe Pesci in the movie, were like lifelong friends. They were friends since they were little kids. Like, Stax is one of his best friends. And, like, he really didn't want to kill him. And I guess he was really remorseful about it and shit and didn't even like talking about it and, like, regretted it forever that he had to do it. He was really bummed. And they said he was such a fucking stone-cold killer and such a psychopath. I think they said he killed at least 10 people, Tommy D. But they said that was the only one they ever heard him be remorseful about, that he had to kill Stax. And he shot him in the head 6 times. And the real guy that Frank Severo, you know, Frankie Carbone. Frankie, take that fucking coffin and go, will you? The real guy he was based on was a dude named Angelo Seppi. And Seppi said that he shot him in the head when he wasn't looking and shot him 6 times to make sure he was dead. And he said, I hope that doesn't hurt, pal. And then something along the lines of, wherever you're going, I'm sure I'll see you there because we're probably both headed to the same place. Something along those lines. But it was pretty interesting to read that. Hang on, I'll take a drink of water. Your fucking mouth gets dry doing this shit. Sucking old man cock and talking for a fucking hour dries out your mouth. Okay, so they steal the money, and as in the movie, Jimmy didn't want to pay these guys, so he started killing them all. Well, once they got the truck and tied Stax to the crew, Jimmy didn't want any fucking witnesses, so he started killing everybody. Paid a couple guys like a pittance. No one really got paid. It was Jimmy and his son took the money and fucking hid it somewhere. So soon after that, you know, Henry rolled on those guys. Totally unrelated to Latanza. It was for the drugs and all that shit. So once he rolls on them, they all go to fucking jail and like they never come back. They all die in prison. Ironically enough, as Paul talked about and dreaded in the movie, that's exactly what happened to him. But so the money, I think the FBI recovered a small amount of it. So a huge chunk, at least $500,000, goes into the safety deposit account. Listen what happens to this after all this. Now, all these people die. Like I said, tax money, court cases, all this shit working on it. It ends up in Jimmy's daughter's, has the key. Now, it goes in the safety deposit box, and Jimmy's daughter has the key to this thing. She marries this other gangster. What the fuck is the guy's name? Oh, something Giancarlo. I forgot. Like a mid-level guy. Wasn't, you know. He gets access to this thing. He spends $250,000. The quote is, on a movie that didn't get fucking produced. And then he gambled the rest away over a couple years. That's what happened to this fucking money that people fucking died. You know, all this. It got just to get gambled away by some fucking Long Island Guido. And it gets spent on some shit movie that fucking never came out. How fucking awful is that? And like, at least, I wish it could have had a good ending, like it ended up in an orphanage. Something. No, some fucking asshole gambled it all away. It's so fucking dumb. I couldn't fucking believe that. I was like, that's fucking the craziest shit. That's the craziest story I've ever heard. I'm in hour 10. Yeah, but okay. I'm over here and I'm half a mile from whatever it takes me to get to fucking Arclight here. This is completely random over the, it falls under the same auspices as, Superman 2. That just randomly popped in my head. There's this part, this one's not as bad, but in the Tim Burton Batman, there's a scene where, I don't know, it's like, it was after, like, him and Vicky Vale, Kim Basinger, like, fucked or something. It's like the next morning. And like Bruce is somewhere, and he calls Alfred at the Wayne Mansion, and he's like, Alfred, do I have any messages? And he's like, oh, he's like, so and so is gonna have papers for you later, and Miss Vale said she'll be 10 minutes late meeting you at the museum. And he stops and he goes, I'm not meeting Vicky at the museum today. The next time you see him is when the Joker, remember the part where he comes and takes over the fucking museum and sprays on all the fucking artwork and everything. And he's like, he's fucking with her and trying to get in her head. He almost squirts her with that fucking acid. The next time you see Michael Keaton in any fucking incarnation, he comes crashing through the fucking top window as Batman to save her from the Joker. God, I fucking love that scene. It's so fucking cool. But, so just from her leaving a message saying, I'll be late meeting you at the museum, he took it upon himself to get in full fucking Batman regalia and show up there to check it out and be ready for anything because she said she was going to the museum and he had not agreed. Not like, oh, maybe it was a wrong number or maybe it was something. Because they were drunk the night before, remember? She's like, I'm a little drunk and you're not anything. You know, maybe it was just something she was fucked up. No other rational pedestrian solution. It had to be, oh my God, someone's going to kill her. I better get to the fucking museum in my Batman costume because she said she's going to be 10 minutes late. What the fuck? Like, what kind of intuition is this guy? I know it's just a movie. I'm aware. I'm nitpicking, but I just thought that was hilarious. I have no fucking idea why that popped in my head today. But, all right, two more quick things here. Hang on. I need another drink. By the way, the Lukester might have bought a little bottle of Jim Beam to take in to see Mean Street. I think I'm going to do a set at Flappers after if I get out early enough. But, again, no one needed to know that. We'll see how this one goes. Maybe I'll fucking get my shit together. My new pet peeve, and I'm sure maybe somebody... I text a lot in traffic. I know I shouldn't, but I'll be sitting at a red light, and I'm holding my phone up so the car behind me can see that I'm texting. The second that light turns green, they fucking lay on their horn because they assume I'm not going to be paying attention. Fuck if this happens once a day. I'm like, asshole, the fucking light, it's been green for -2 seconds. Why are you beeping? I stepped on the gas pedal. I was moving before. Fuck you. That drives me fucking nuts. I wish I had like some kind of contraption where I could just put a fucking egg in like a catapult and just whip it at the front of their fucking windshield. But fuck that. And okay. Jay Leno was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and fuck, I love Leno, dude. He's like, now he just doesn't. He doesn't. I hated the Tonight Show. I hated him on it. I hated him for years until I went and saw. Like I've talked about it before in LGR, but me and Dude Bogues went to see Jimmy Norton because he was taping. You know, he's going to be on their panel. So I went to. He's going to be on a panel of Marvel fans. Tell the tranny jokes and. But me and Dude Bogues went and. Before the show, like, I'm like, you know, the whole time, I'm like, I don't give a shit about fucking Leno. I don't give a fuck about a Leno. And he warms up the crowd or whatever before the tape. He's like, hey, how's everybody doing? Hey, a bunch of tourists here. Where are you guys from? You know? And he takes quiet. And he was like shitting on the crowd. He was making fun of me. He was being like really bad. And like calling people like fat. So I was like, hey, how'd you get into those pants? I was like, holy shit. This guy's a fucking asshole. And then when he, like, his guest that day where it was Rainn Wilson, nice fucking name. Another inexplicably famous guy. I love that dude. He's never made me laugh. I don't understand it. He's not a good actor. He's not funny. He's in kind of like dramedies and shit and says like wacky stuff and he makes his eyeballs kind of bug out when he says it. I guess I'm supposed to laugh at that. I don't understand this guy. I don't know where he came from and I don't know why he's so fucking beloved. He was so bad. He had nothing. It was like pulling teeth. It was so awkward. Like he was so like nervous and like Jay could not get anything out of him. And, like, he's doing everything he can. And I remember being booked for, like, what the fuck? Like, are they going to cut this? Like, how are they even going to air this? It was so bad. But, like, then he has Malin Ackerman on. I mean, he's just trying everything. And the chick that played Silk Spectre in Watchmen. And she, another just bore. Just a bore. Nothing to say. Promoting some dumbass fucking, hey, so what are you promoting here? And it was like a fucking basket, fucking baseball. Like, oh, this, it's a comedy about baseball, and I meet a guy at a stadium, and he's just gotta, like, fucking somehow take these boring assholes and turn it into something. That's why that show sucks so bad, because they have these fucking zilches on most of the time with nothing to say, and it's a 7-minute segment, so it's just garbage. There's no real that's why, like, just this age of podcasts and all this kind of stuff is so great. You can have long conversations. I mean, maybe she's an interesting chick if you had something to talk to besides being nailed to whatever movie she's promoting, and that's where the discussion has to stay. If you had an hour to get into her, it probably would be fucking decent, but whatever. I guess that's neither here or there. But and then I'm just like, dude, what a fucking talent that he's got to do this fucking nightly and have these people with nothing interesting to say or anything and turn it into fucking gold. You know, turn it into something usable. But, I mean, I don't know if I saw the edited episode. I don't know what they did to it, but there was some way they must have made it work with that fucking Rainn Wilson, but it was fucking terrible. I'm like, that's got to be brutal. I mean, that's got to be exhausting to have to do that all the time. And this is a guy that grew up around fucking sharp people and comics and stuff. You know, like, great, like, he he's friends with, like, fucking Carl Reiner and all these guys. And, like, these are the funniest fucking people around. And now he's got to deal with these assholes with nothing to say. I'm like, that's got to be aggravating, man. But, so I really respected him after I saw that. And I really always wanted to see him do stand-up and shit. And, like, I could never go because his fucking tickets for shows, you can't get nothing for him for under, like, $40. You know, it's fucking expensive. But, where did I make a left? Is it right here? I think so. I'm going to make a left on fucking Fountain. Yeah. Take Fountain, as Mark Maron would say. But, so he goes on Joe's podcast, and, like, he just doesn't give a shit. And he's like, do you miss doing the show, the Tonight Show? He's like, no, I don't. He's like, you know what the people I had, you know, people I didn't talk to, they had nothing to say. You know, you want to talk to these guys? It was just fucking great. It was, like, so honest, and, like, he's got so many, I mean, he started doing stand-up when he was, like, 8 fucking teen with no money and just fucking, I mean, I've never heard of a harder working comic in history than this guy. Like, he did, like, these always crazy mob-owned clubs, and he had, like, bottles broken over his head and shit. He got knocked out at a fucking show, and, like, just so many fucking great stories. And, like, he's just worked with everybody, done everything. He's like a fucking Forrest Gump, almost, comedy, as far as, like, historical context. That was kind of a dumb analogy, but I don't know. If you're bored, check it out. It's only an hour long. It's not as long as Joe's usually are, but I always love listening to him talk. And then I was so fucking jealous because the other company that keeps all the camera shit in my place, they had a fucking prep going out to shoot a promo for his show. And the dude that was prepping, I was like, yeah, we're going to the desert to shoot one of Jay's, like, $1 million cars and all this shit. I'm like, fuck, I wish I want to go hang out. But it's an interesting interview. But you really turned me around. I'm glad that, like, I got to fucking not hate Jay Leno for the rest of my life for thinking he's a piece of shit, because he's actually, like, fucking funny and, like, a killer goddamn comic. But goddamn comic. I wish I could do fucking Colin Quinn, but I can't. But go listen to that if you get a chance. I don't know. I guess that's about it. I'm almost at the fucking movies here. I see fucking Mean Streets. Watch fucking Mean Streets if you never. You know what? Read about it first. Read about what the fucking themes are, and then watch the goddamn thing. It's so good. And hopefully, it'll be on film, not like Raging Bull when I saw it on Blu-ray. But, like, I think Ken and Rusty were busting my balls, and they're like, "You're gonna hate Mean Streets too." I'm like, "No, Mean Streets holds up, because it's more episodic. It's more like Goodfellas, and it's a little easier to deal with than, you know, there's a lot more going on than just stupid Jake, you know, being a fucking asshole to everybody, and fucking, like, throwing his life down the toilet and shit like that, you know." Into a momentary lapse on a damaged groove. What's ever gonna last is close to what we can comprehend forever to be. Used, we all feel used, or being misunderstood for dying abuse. In a dead spark that is our ego, the guilt too much to bear. We'll be right back.
Yeah.